speaker is Susan F. from the Dulles Corridor area, sharing on the fifth tradition.
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm a recovering addict.
Hey, Susan.
So, thank you so much, Fez, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope on that.
You're welcome.
Amazing. So, here we go. My name is Susan. I'm a recovering addict.
Hi, Susan.
My clean date is January 28th, 1988. I come from the Dulles Corridor area of Narcotics Anonymous. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I have sponsees who has sponsees. We work the steps. We go to meetings. We carry the message. We do service. We help the newcomers. And we help each other. Stay clean. And all because of NA. So, today I'm sharing on the fifth tradition. So I did a lot of studying, okay, because I wanted to stay on the tradition and not go into a story, you know, like, so I have been sweating it out, you know, and taking notes and lots of notes and lots of notes. And then, you know, so anyway, because I want you to know how important it is to have the fifth tradition. You know, we get in here and we do the steps, and we forget a lot of the traditions. Oh, yeah, they're read at the meetings, but we really don't study them. There is a new book now, though, that we can start working, step work in the traditions, which is a pretty cool book. But I want to read the fifth tradition, not the whole story. So it's each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict still suffering. What is that message? The message is that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and promise of freedom. When it is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that is all we have to give. There are some spiritual principles that back this up, and this is what we apply: integrity, responsibility, unity, and anonymity. And those are very important. So before I came to meetings, I was in a very deep, dark place. I had gone through 18 years of using. I'd hit a bottom. I was in a dark place. I was in Texas, and I just want to share a little bit about this. When at the end, I was living in a place that had been, what is it called? It had been taken over, and so I wasn't paying rent. It was owned by somebody, and they had not... foreclosure, that's the word, okay? Now, you have to remember, you don't have to remember because you don't know. That my brain sometimes plays tricks with me and my words don't come easily. And that is honest. It's not stupidity. It's just that I struggle after using all these years. Some of the stuff that has happened to me because of the drug I used causes me a little problem. So if I fumble here, I got this, okay? I got this. I'm just going to pick myself up and continue forward, all right? So here we go. So the house was in foreclosure, the apartment. And so there was no running water. There's no electricity, you know. And my drug of choice is anything I can put in a needle. And in the dark, you can't find them. And in the light, I couldn't find them. So I'm just saying. So I burned fire with the wood. You know, we had a fireplace, so there was wood in it that I could see at night. It was cold at the end there, and water was running from my neighbor's faucet in a bucket to fill the toilets, and it was insanity. And I was just in a deep, dark place. But before I got to that place, somebody had said, I think you have a problem. And I'm going, So I'm reflecting back now about when I was studying this. My first meeting that I went to was when I was still actively using and not thinking I had a problem. But so I went to this meeting, and I got high before I went. And, you know, after years of using, I didn't like to be down. I like to be up. I'm an up person. So as you can imagine what I might be using, I use, and then I go into the meeting, and then I sit down and ooh. I want to share, you know, and they're looking at me like, okay, I think this lady's a little off. And so I say, well, I really want to get clean, and I would like to, you know, but I don't know how, and I don't think I have a problem, but, you know, and so I'm just rambling on. I mean, just as fast as my mouth will go. And they look at me, and they're all shaking their heads, and somebody interrupts me and says, you know, you need to sit down and listen, you know, but keep coming back. We love you. We need you. Okay, well, that was rude, you know. So I sit there, and I'm stewing, and I get up, and I leave. Well, I try it one more time. I come back to the same meeting, and I think it must be a Thursday night, because I come in the same way, hyped up and excited, and, you know, and then I get shut down again. Or they shut me down before I keep going, ooh, you know, and there was no, would you like to share? You know, they just kind of, would you share over here or you share over here? I was not there. But they come to me afterwards and say, hey, we're having this convention this weekend. It's a spiritual retreat. And it's up in the mountains. And I'm going, what is this? You know, oh, well, everybody gets together. We stay clean. And I'm going, well, I don't think I can do this, but I'm game. Okay. And so I leave my drugs at home. And I take this trip with a bunch of people into the mountains. And I didn't think I could do this. So I go. And there's so much love. So much love. They had the speakers. I mean, we've all been to a spiritual retreat. We're here right now. So there was, but it was out like a camp out. So, but I was filled with love. And I can remember this other guy that was there with me, and we were two newcomers. And he said, I got to leave. I can't do this. And I would sit down with him, and I talked him into staying. And we stayed the weekend, okay? And it was amazing. It was like a pink cloud. I was on a pink cloud. But then I left. And I continued to use. I don't know how long, a couple more years. But right before this last, sometime during, I went to another meeting, and I went to this meeting, and I listened. I didn't share at this time, and I was all excited. This one girl came up to me, oh, you know, you're a newcomer. Yes, I am. And she was talking to me, and she seemed like somebody who had a lot of time, and so I was like listening to her, thinking she was great. And she says, well, I can help you out. And then she was telling me, well, I don't have a coat. She was talking about her problems, and I said, oh, you know what, I have five of everything at my house. You know, I was an addict. I went to Kmart a lot. I spent a lot of money. I was a dope dealer. You know, I had five of everything. I had five TVs. I had several refrigerators. I had lots of clothes. I had so much stuff. I hadn't hit a bottom where I'd lost everything, all right? So she comes into the house, and she sees what I have here, and she goes off on me. How can you say you're an addict? You don't deserve to be in this meeting. And she judged me for all the stuff I had not lost, okay? And I was just happy and silly and wanting to be a part of the meeting and try to figure it out, you know, but she judged me, and she... You know, I gave her a coat. She didn't even say thank you, but she made me feel like, you know, I didn't need to be in because I hadn't hit a bottom yet. And it was, you know, and so I never went to another meeting. Not because of that. Do you know what I'm saying? This was one person who made a judgment in a meeting on me. It wasn't everybody, but for me as a newcomer, you know, it wasn't the same experience I got the first time, which was so much love. But the last time, you know, I had forgotten about that because I was still off in my using, and I was back to where, you know, trying to go to one more meeting and seeing what that was like. And so I never went to another meeting at that time. And then I was in this place, and I called my parents, and they lived in Virginia, and I lived in Texas. And I said, and this was in August, and I said, can I come home? can I come and live with you guys? And they said, yes, if I go to meetings or put myself into a rehab. So that was August. I show up on their doorstep December 24th in a box, a present box, Christmas box, right? Because they didn't know if I was dead or alive. They'd never heard from me since August. They did not know, and they knew I was in active addiction. And they weren't even sure they wanted me to be there with them, but I asked, and they said yes. So I'm not going to go into the long story of the box, but my father is in the Army, and they went out looking at Christmas lights, and by the time I got the box in the front door and they finally came home, which I had to wait for them to get in the house, and I put the box out front. It was 11 o'clock at night, ringing the doorbell and box in the front door, and my dad being in the Army, yeah. Mm-hmm. That went over real good because he opened the door, and he went around the box, and he went out to the front, and he looked around to see who might have left a bomb at the front door. and the people across the street were watching the whole scenario because they had let me come into their house while we waited for my mom and dad to come home from watching lights. And my mom was looking down from the window upstairs. Who's at that front door? What's going on? Why is he out at the front? You know, and they were just having stitches laughing, you know. And my dad finally comes over to the box again, and he's circling it. And I said, open the box, you know. He can't see me. And I say, open the box. So he starts laughing, and I just pop up, surprise! You know, needless to say, they were happy to see that I was alive. The next day, my mom and I had a fight, slapped me in the face, and I was in my car, and I was driving off. Well, I didn't have but about $3, if I had that left, because I had to buy the wrapping paper to get the box out of the CVS trash, you know, so I didn't really have any, whatever gas I had left, and I used all the way coming, and I used every bit I had until I got there, you know. And so I started going to meetings. I say, okay, I'm going to go to meetings. And so I went and found my first meeting, and it was over, and they were cleaning up after. And it was a great meeting because there were two people there, and one person was somebody that is now like my best friend. But she welcomed me. She hugged me. She took me to Bob's Big Boy, and I was 90 pounds wet, all right? Of course, we all know what happens after you're in clean for 3 months. You don't weigh 90 pounds anymore. So she takes me to Bob's Big Boy, and we sit there, and we talk for hours and hours. She tells me about another meeting that's late but straight in our area. It's late night, started at 10 o'clock. So I went to that meeting after that. And I sat down. So this was my real first meeting, you know, without using for a couple of days, you know. And I sat there and I listened, and I was on such a pink cloud, even though I wasn't, I was just so happy because look at all the people there, you know. And people welcomed me, and it was so important. And, of course, when I sat down and I listened, people were, this person over here was crying about their boyfriend or girlfriend. This person over here was complaining about the cliques, and, you know, she wanted to leave the meetings, and she wasn't, you know, going to be a part of this anymore. And everybody had some kind of pissing and moaning to do. And I thought this was a place of recovery where we come in and we're all, yes, we can do this, you know, this kind of stuff. But so, I mean, but because I was clean for the first time. So I hadn't experienced it clean. I just experienced it high, right? So after all of this stuff, I was sitting here kind of taking a few little notes here and there. And then I raised my hand, ooh. And I literally, not without realizing it, stood up. And I addressed everybody's problems. Something good. So, of course, I was told later that was called taking an inventory. And I didn't know, of course, what that even meant because, you know, when I first came in, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't put my brain together. I had so much shame and guilt and dislike about myself. Nobody was ever going to love me. So I had a facade and I disassociated for so many years, all my life, even using disassociated. And when I got in, I disassociated so that only you saw me as a happy person. And I share these stories with you about my past, the meetings that I went to that I felt like I was on a pink cloud. And then the one that where the person judged me because I hadn't lost everything. The most important thing is I'm sharing this to you because the tradition is all about how we carry the message to the suffering addicts. And that's not just the suffering addicts. That's us. That's people that have a year clean, 30 years clean, because so many of those people leave the program. I mean, the primary purpose is for all of us addicts, not just one or two. And it took me a long time to be able to do any kind of step work because I couldn't function. I couldn't think right. But they said, guess what you can do? You can do service. And I'm all about service because I don't have to think. I don't have to have the brains. And guess what? I didn't go to college. I didn't go to college. I don't know the big words. But it doesn't take anything to empty an ashtray or set up a chair, to hug somebody that walks in the room. And so they taught me how to do service first because that's what I could do. Now, this isn't a service thing, but I'm sharing this is what worked for me and how I learned how to become a part of a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And so I picked a home group, and I've had the same home group 27 years, and I've got 29 years clean now. So, thanks. But this home group, what we do in our home group to make the addicts feel welcome is we have a greeter. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, I'm a person who has found love in the rooms. My heart is so full of love. I love people. I don't care how mean you are, how nasty you are. Sometimes I bite back, but you know, if you get in my face or if you say something and I haven't stopped myself first, but I can love. So easy. It takes nothing. It's just it's so easy. I mean, so a lot of people find it a little difficult, but for me, it's kind of scary. I think people worry about, can you really love that person? You know, and it's like I love people so easily. Now, I don't always like what they do. I don't always approve of what they are about, but I still love them because they are with God. You know, that God brought them here, put them in my life in front of my face, and he taught me or my higher power, and I just want to say, I use he because I was brought up with he as God, right? You know, so God is all over, inside us all. And so when I say God, I mean the energy of God that is inside of me pure and inside of each and every one of you pure, okay? So what I do for my home group is I come in, I set up the room with some other people. We make these packets up. And someone has the name where we pass the name list around. And we also have IPs so that the newcomer that comes in also has some of the good IPs that they can take home because everybody comes and walks over to the desk. Oh, I like that one. I like that one. Or they're those collectors. Oh, I got to have one of each one. You know, let me have each one of those IPs. And then, you know, they take them and they get trashed, you know. But we attack the newcomer after the meeting, poor thing. I don't know what hit him, you know. And we if we find out ahead of time, we attack him in the beginning. But so a home group is an atmosphere of love and acceptance and no judgment. And you need to make your home group safe. You don't come in here and talk about things that you don't, you know. You don't talk about exactly what all you use because the newcomer will, what's the word?
Compare out,
thank you. You. See, that was an easy word, right? Not for my tongue. It'll come yet tomorrow, later, but not, thank you. So people compare out. We compare out. Well, I'm not really an addict. You know, I only smoke pot a little bit, you know. Or, God, I never shot dope like that, you know, so I don't belong here. But you know what? No matter how bad our story is or the deep, darkest depths of our pain and our shame, you know, we earned our seat here. And I'd be damned if I'm going to give it up to anybody. I don't care who talks about me, who judges me. And, you know, people used to, when I was a newcomer, my first 10 years, people see me coming. They go, oh, here she comes. Oh, no, you know. You know, what you do? Act like you're doing something, you know. You know, but, I mean, and they really did. I mean, those people, because I was so happy. And some people can't take happy. And there's some people that are so miserable that they want to make you unhappy so they cause you pain so that you will be unhappy. But not with me because, see, I disassociate. I'm always happy, right? So no matter what you do, it don't work with me. Now, when I had 10 years clean, of course, my sponsor said, you cannot be happy all the time, Susan. Why not? Because that's not truly who you are. You have pain. You need to get in touch with that. So that was a whole another line of story and has nothing to do with the fifth tradition. So we're not going there. But I am a happy person. And all my people will tell you that. I live to help the recovering addict, not just the newcomer, the second comers, the old comers, the in-between comers. It does not matter. If you have a problem, if you are hurting, if you are in pain, I am there. My phone is on 24 hours a day. Unless I know that you're driving to work at 7 o'clock in the morning and you just want to chat and I'm sleeping. Not happening, okay? But if you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and if my phone is ringing at that time, I know that you're not on your way to work and that you're in pain. You're calling me for a purpose, and I'm picking up that phone. Do you understand why? Because if I don't, they may die. Not just me, but if we don't. You know, do you know how many people die today? It's just outrageous. We won't go there. That's not the tradition. But to keep our primary purpose, there are so many things that we can do. Like that is why we have PI, public information. That's why we have H&I, hospitals and institution, and that's why we have special events. And for PI, that's so we can get it out to all the people that don't know they have a problem, or they think that their brother or sister or mother might have a problem, but here's this information. Well, yeah, that's them. Maybe we can send them over here. So that's PI. And H&I, those are those that are in the jails. I do a meeting in the jail. So does Feds. We take meetings into the county jail to those people that can't get meetings but need meetings and love us coming there, and it means so much, right? And then we have the special events, which I'm also involved in. Because, but I'm just a worker bee, guys. I'm not in charge of nothing. I'm just a worker bee. I love to do service, so I'm a worker bee. But special events is to show the newcomers, especially the newcomers, and those people that get lazy, that there is fun in recovery. We can dance. We can talk. We can have fun. We don't have to be miserable. Now what am I going to do? I don't have any dope to do. You know? Oh, that's a piece of crock. Because you know what? There's so much to do. We can have so much. We have whitewater rafting trips. We have campouts. We have conventions. We have so much. And life is so much fun today. So much fun. And I jump in and do service as much as I possibly can. And there are people that say, oh, you need to move on. You need to do something else. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? I don't do service for you. I do service for me. Because it saves my life every single day. And it fills my gas tank up when I'm empty and depleted. And I have no more energy. But speaking drains my energy. I get so stressed out and I get so upset because I'm going to fail. At this much time, I judge myself still. I don't think I'm good enough. What if I don't reach one person? What if I don't tell something. I don't want to mess up. Because you know what? I'm not perfect, but I'm normal. We all want to be good, right? We all want to sound good. We want somebody to say, God, I really got something out of that girl. Not, God, she was a pain in the ass. You know? Did you hear that? Wow. Oh, did I say ass? I didn't say that. I got one. But anyway, back to the traditions because I'm almost done here. But let me tell you something that's very important in the last thing. Take a look around your home group. This is so important. Look who's not there. See who's not there that's always there. That you haven't heard from because your life is so busy and you get so caught up in it and you don't think about it, even though you love these people or this person, but they're not there. And you've forgotten because you're in your own life stuff, right? Go back to your home groups this week. Look and see who's not there. Call them up. Tell them you love them. Tell them you miss them. Make sure they're okay. Go pick them up. Make them feel wanted and needed. Maybe they're struggling too. Maybe they're wanting to go back out and use. This is what we do. We help each other. And we can't if we continue to just focus on ourselves and our own little people here. We have to reach out because there's too much death going on. You hear what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Don't let another suffering addict die in your home group that you knew, that you loved, and that you invested time in. Don't give up on them. We didn't give up on you. They didn't give up on me. And they could have. A lot of them tried to run. But I was not letting anybody go. I love this program. This program saved my life. It truly saved my life. Because if you only knew the deep, dark, drudge, disgusting things I did, like a lot of us did. You know, my story's the same. It's embarrassing. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing because what I did gave me my experience, strength, and hope so that I could share with my sponsees on a daily basis that teach me how to live and learn. And every day I learn more from them. We have ourselves. We have each other. Let's stick together. Winners, don't listen to that. Stick with the winners. That is BS. We are all winners. If we made it here today, we are a winner. Do you hear what I'm saying? Stick with us, everyone. That's important. Stick with all of us. We are all winners. I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share.